I thought it was a really interesting way in to this really diverse family, but I also wasn't sure. I thought the script was really funny, but you know, you don't just do the pilot on one of these. Hopefully you do, you know, 100, like a 70 show, we did 200 episodes. It's like, you gotta be sure there's enough real story there. It's not just concept. And I don't know if you know Mike Colton and John Abood, this writing team. It's actually based on Mike's life. He was doing okay, but he went to have a second kid, and he and his wife kind of accidentally had twins. And he was just firmly placed in the middle class. And then his brother is, you know, the 1% of the 1%, and his sister is kind of straight up poor. And when I started talking to them about this idea, I went, oh my God, there's endless permutations of how you can angle different stories from different places. And I really like the characters.
That's Topher Grace talking about his new show, Home Economics, on ABC. And we have a really great conversation. Never talked to him before, and a super nice guy. And you'll hear a lot of conversation about The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, which you may or may not know I worked on. He's a big fan, so we kind of talk about a lot of different things, but really cool conversation. But before we get to him, I am speaking to you with my hands wrapped in blankets right now, because I just spent the last 35 minutes with my hands and my face in my refrigerator trying to get some food. But apparently, the way we've organized things, it's a little backwards. So anything that you don't use much in your life, that's what you can get right up front in my refrigerator, like maraschino cherries, half a kiwi, Tabasco sauce, chocolate sprinkles. If you want like obscure stuff like eggs, milk, and juice, that's way in the back and you got to dig for it. Basically, what you need is you got to call in an extraction team and leave a will, and hope you return alive to see your family after you try to go get that stuff. So yeah, there's a little tension in the house right now over the arrangement of stuff in the refrigerator. I'm going to go, and you enjoy Topher Grace. Really cool guy.
My guest this week, a really terrific actor. I enjoy in pretty much everything that he's done. And you know him from That 70s Show, Venom, Spider-Man 3, Black Klansman, which I want to bring up in a minute with you. But we'll talk first about his new show on ABC, At Home Economics, which airs every Wednesday, 8:30 Central Time. Topher Grace, great to have you on, Topher.
But let's not forget about Irresistible, Jon Stewart's directorial.
That's exactly right.
We were just talking about more effort. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. We were just talking about that. That my former boss and your director.
Maybe the greatest human alive, man. I've never had that much fun. And then to be doing it with Steve too is like,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I just sat back and I was like, I love The Daily Show so much from back then.
It was fun.
Talked about it when I went on Colbert. I was like, that to me is, I think, that period of time when all those cats were on is my favorite TV show, I think, ever. Like, it's hard to say The Daily Show spanned so many years, but that period of time was just insane.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, you know, we were there, and just like when John got there, you know, we had been doing it with Kilbourne, and then John just took it to a whole other level and focused the show more on politics and the media's coverage of politics. And
did you ever watch on YouTube maybe you were there when John came on and was interviewed by Kilbourne?
Oh yes. Yeah. It's awkward. It's definitely
a great bit, because he basically like outlines what he would do with the show if he had it. And then, and then he did it.
yeah, exactly. And you know, that whole thing took everybody by surprise, because when Kilbourne ended up getting the late show slot because he was playing pickup basketball at the Reebok Club on the Upper West Side with Rob Burnett, and they started talking. I'm serious. And they're like,
no way.
And they're like, well, what's going on? And they start talking this, that, and the other thing. You know, because Snyder was getting replaced, and I think they had a deal with Jon Stewart, but that didn't go anywhere to take over the Snyder role with the slot. And then one thing, the musical chairs, and then John ends up there. And then it was just like, yeah, it was,
I love The Daily Show. I watched the pilot of The Daily Show with Kilbourne. I mean, I thought I was whatever the right age is, that I was home that night that it began. And I went into a taping, this is before John got on it, and that was the one day that A. Whitney Brown was hosting it.
Nothing
against A. Whitney Brown, but I was excited to see the five questions or whatever it was. And then when John took it over, the correspondents that were there, I couldn't believe it. I'm so mad at him. I never really took him aside when I did his movie, but I wanted to kind of yell at him, as we all do, like that he left. Like, I thought he was, nothing was ever going to get better. But then what was great on the set of that movie is that, I had Steve Carell and Jon Stewart there together at lunch, in the tent that we all ate lunch in. Yeah. And I'd kind of just toss a current event out there, and John would start in on it. I'd be like, can you believe Trump did this? And then I'd just sit back and watch my own personal little daily show for a second.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's right there at his fingertips. Yeah. It's anyway, I don't
know. It really is. By the way, to watch it happen in real time is really amazing. Cause you figure all these hosts have writers, but to watch John just go in on a piece and have his opinion about it. And he's just a genius.
Yeah, yeah, he was really focused in the room. He would tell us, he wanted to go in a certain direction, and great editor. And I think he's a speed reader too, because we would write the jokes, and then we'd have the read down at noon or one in the afternoon, and somebody would read the jokes aloud with all of us, the writers in the room, and the head writer and John. And he'd be like, and then sometimes he'd stop and he'd just be flipping pages, and I'm like, is this son of a bitch just scanning my jokes and not reading them? And then I realized later he's reading so fast, and he just so quick. And I learned a lot when he came in about editing and and a great guy too. And just, it just treats people really well. But anyway, let's talk about your show.
Yeah, that was what I really saw. I guess when I started on Irresistible, I think I was there the first day we started shooting. Yeah. And, I kind of said to Steve Carell, I guess I just assumed that people were biting each other's heads off, and there was a lot of backstabbing because, it was New York and the show was so cool and whatever.
Yeah.
And I said, why is he being so nice? And why are you being so nice? What is going on here? Because the script was pretty caustic, but everyone was so pleasant. And I said, what is this? And he said, oh no, this is kind of the way John works. And I said, oh, okay. And I just kind of relaxed, and then, your best work starts coming out,
Yeah, it was always about that. I mean, there was definitely competition among the writers. We all wanted to get our stuff on, but that's good. It was healthy competition. It wasn't anybody but yeah. And then, guys like Steve and Carell and Colbert and A. Whitney and all these, they were also in effect writing too, writing their segments and stuff. So, but let's get into your show, because I know you're on a tight schedule, and I could talk to you. Maybe we'll have you back.
This is so much cooler to talk about. No. I did some of those Colbert bits back in the day. I just watched on YouTube the other day. He goes to the guy who was Gaydar. Do you remember that bit?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We worked on that. Yeah, yeah.
Gaydar, and then he's like, but aren't you gay?
Exactly.
Absolutely not. But
right.
But he clearly was gay, right?
Yeah, and you were waiting for that to come, and the brilliance of that performance was to not pull that pin early in the conversation and wait, and he kept building the tension, and then he finally did it. And it was all Carell really found his character when, in 2002, when we had the, that whole, Gore, Bush recount, and he was the guy in front of the map, and then we're going to go back to the vote count to Steve Carell in front of the big board. Thank you, John. And so here in Michigan, Steve, yeah, that's Illinois. Oh, sorry, John, sorry. And here in North Carolina, that's Massachusetts. And then Carell had this thing he did. He started this man crying thing. He go, I don't know the map. I don't understand geography. And I remember being in the studio when he did it.
Dude, he's something else too. Watching him improvise on set, there was I think this was on the first day. I threw out, everyone was kind of sticking to the script because the beginning, and I threw out an improvisation because I thought, I wanted to impress John or something. And Steve finished my improvisation before I was done with it. Like he, I was like, oh my God. Like I've never, like normally if you improvise an actor, the other actor will maybe respond
right, and
you know, stay in the scene. But he finished it for me. And I remember being like holding onto my seat, like, oh my God, I got to be careful. And the local hire, the actors who were from wherever we were shooting, were like, check please. Like they were just out. Like it was too scary what was going on. And he was so good. And he's such a good actor too. It's really the key.
Yeah,
it was such a pleasure. Yeah. That whole set, it was like Rose Byrne and Chris Cooper, just great actors.
Yeah. John creates a great vibe, and Steve's amazing. And I worked with Steve on other stuff too. And you know, working with Colbert now, like it's sort of a group of us kind of moved from Daily Show to the Colbert Report to the Late Show, and just it's anyway. But all right, we got to talk about your show, otherwise, probably someone's going to get mad at me.
For some reason, yeah
exactly. So you have a new show out called The Daily Show. No, it's called Home Economics. It's on Wednesdays on ABC, and it's a really cool show because I like the idea that it's sort of addressing class in a different way. Like, you know, historically sitcoms, especially sort of focused on sort of the lower middle class, The Honeymoon is All in the Family, Roseanne. But this is three classes of stratas of our society, with the family, with a family sort of being the common thread between the classes. And there's sort of the your struggling sister, your rich younger brother, and you're sort of in the middle class, an author, a writer, not struggling, but you haven't hit it necessarily big per se financially. Is that what attracted you? Because I know you had said in something I read that you really didn't think about going back to doing a TV show, but this one really hit you when you read it. Was that class thing something that really that grabbed you?
Yeah, I thought it was a really interesting way in to this really diverse family, but I also wasn't sure. I mean, I thought the script was really funny, but you know, you don't just do the pilot on one of these. Hopefully you do, you know, 100, like 70 show, we did 200 episodes. It's like, you gotta be sure there's enough real story there. It's not just concept. And I don't know if you know, Mike Colton and John Abood, this writing team, it's actually based on Mike's life. He was doing okay, but he went to have a second kid, and he and his wife kind of accidentally had twins, and he was just firmly placed in the middle class. And then his brother is, you know, the 1% of the 1%, and his sister is kind of straight up poor. And when I started talking to them about this idea, I went, oh my God, there's endless permutations of how you can angle different stories from different places. And I really like the characters. And I could see that it could be one of those casts that is very different, but, you know, hopefully there's a lot of chemistry and, you know, every character is coming from their own place. And we've done a bunch of episodes now, and it really works, you know?
Yeah, no, the chemistry is definitely there. I think the casting is spot on. And your character has twins and is struggling and has to eventually, I'm not giving too much away, but go to the younger brother against his will in a way to borrow money and blah, blah, blah. And so I start to think you have such a great character to play because I can feel your conflict. I mean, I worked on Wall Street, and then I quit to be a comedian and eventually write and perform and do all of this. So I know that feeling of like wanting to have your creative juices go, but also have money. Does your character question himself? Is he a true creative in that sense? I mean, is he a true writer because he is so concerned about money?
Yeah, I think the great device of it is that there's so many characters that kind of needs narration. So the device they came up with is he's writing a novel about his family without their permission. They don't know about it.
Right.
So everything for him is kind of fodder for this novel. And, you know, without giving too much away, it comes out within the first season and all the characters start to find out about it. And it's kind of an interesting device. But what's really meta about it is that Mike is also writing this show about his family as the character that's based on him that I play is writing this book about the same family. And it's kind of, he's kind of communicating with his family by making this show.
Right. Yeah. I know you have a sibling, your sister, Jenny, I think her name is. Is there anything that you tapped into in terms of your relationship with your sibling, quirks, aspects of your relationship that you sort of brought into this? Because a sibling relationship
is
the
core. Well, I stopped talking to all my family once I started making. But, you know, once in a while, I kind of think about them, and they were a great group, you know?
Yeah. And did
no,
you?
No, we don't have that relationship or that strife. It wasn't when you meet the parents who are interesting characters themselves. They're only in the pilot briefly, but then they're been more of the show.
Right.
You kind of go, oh, they may have set their kids up to have a level of conflict about this stuff that. That my sister and I don't have. It wasn't something that was that important to my parents. But even in the pilot, they're kind of saying like, wow, you guys made it, and forgetting to compliment the sister who is doing great things. She's, you know, it's not something that people get paid a lot of money for.
Yeah. She's at-risk children therapist. And is there some, not to sound too lofty or whatever, but when you talk about the show, you're obviously involved in the creative process beyond just acting in the show. Is there a long-term sort of theme or goal that you have for the show in terms of the message you want the show to give people, short-term, long-term?
Oh, that's interesting. People haven't really asked me that, but you're right. You don't want to be too lofty with a sitcom. The nature of some of them is that they don't actually change that much, but I do think, I mean, I feel very deeply that the things that matter can't be bought. And I've certainly met, you know, especially being out here in Hollywood, I've met many, many very rich people who are miserable.
Yeah.
And so I like that the central theme of the show is the connectivity of this family, their connection, and not, it doesn't glorify the wealth. It kind of, if anything, the younger brother who has all this money is doing the worst of anyone. So I like that general thing that the show's saying every episode, even though it's about different things.
Yeah. No, I mean, it really does. I think there's going to be a lot of episodes in this in terms of the characters, the concept of the show, the premise of the show. So listen, I think the show's got a lot of legs, and I wish you the best of luck with it. And let's get you back on to talk more about that. And I want to talk to you about your role in Black's Klansman. I thought you were terrific in that role, among other things. But Home Economics airs Wednesdays on ABC. Topher Grace. And it was so great to talk to you for 2 minutes about your show and 12 minutes about The Daily Show. So,
dude, when I come back on, we'll talk exclusively about The Daily Show circa 2002.
Exactly. All right, man. It's great to have you on. You're so awesome, and your work is tremendous, and good luck with everything, and we'll talk soon again.
You too, man. Thank you so much.
All right, there you go. Topher Grace, awesome. Hope you enjoyed it. Got really cool guests coming up next week. And just remember, check out the YouTube channel, youtube.com/PaulMercurio. We got some cool stuff been posting there. And as always, appreciate you guys checking out the podcast, and see you next week, everybody.